In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Blessed Feast of the Holy Cross. We celebrate the Holy Cross twice a year. One during this season, at the end, 2 weeks after the Feast of Nairuz, the beginning of the Coptic year, and then another time in 10th of Baramhat, which usually comes in March. Let me start by saying that it's really important for us as Orthodox faithful to absorb all what the Church gives us. As much as we can, we need to absorb the hymns, we need to absorb the rites, we need to absorb these elements. If we don't absorb these features that the Church had granted us and gave us, we will have nothing called tradition. Like, what makes the Orthodox unique, of course we have our unique theology, but what makes the Orthodox unique is that we always speak of tradition, we always speak of something bigger than a sola scriptura. We always speak of something that's a bigger than basically having the Bible only. We have the Church tradition, which includes all of those things that you see around, especially when you come to a feast, especially when you come to an occasion. If we are unable to absorb this as faithful, and if we are unable to preserve it too, we will turn to be basically some form of a Western Christianity. I don't know what is it. And I'm not referring to the whole debate about the language. Set this aside for now. Just not the matter that I'm referring to now. But I'm referring to this feast is heavy on the Church rites. You come in, there is a procession in the first night for the Vespers, and then there is another procession yesterday early in the morning, and then you have new hymns, and you have... So this feast is actually heavy on Church rites and Church hymnology. And I think these things are really important for us to absorb, to take in, to contemplate on, to see and taste what the Church had already prepared for us to come and listen and be engaged. So it's really important for us, not just as clergy and as deacons, but even as congregation to absorb all these things for us to truly live an Orthodox spirituality. If we don't, we're not living an Orthodox spirituality. We're living some form of spirituality, I don't know what is it, but anyways. Now, with the Feast of the Cross, this time of the year comes 3 days. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. In yesterday's reading, the events take place in the Feast of Dedication. Do you know what this Feast of Dedication is? The Jews had a Feast of Dedication. Do you know what is it? It's a Hanukkah. That's basically it. The Feast of Dedication is Hanukkah. Hanukkah means to dedicate. That's what it is. And this was actually a modern feast in the life of the Jews, because it probably established sometime around, you know, a century and a half before the coming of Christ. And they had reconsecrated, rededicated, this is where the word comes, Feast of Dedication, rededicated the altar. And when they rededicated the altar, they came up with this feast, says we have to now celebrate this feast because now we have a rededication with God. And hence, let's do this feast of dedication, which Hanukkah, and then this is why Hanukkah is until now celebrated. How many days? 8. But the Lord actually, during this feast, spoke about that no one can take my sheep from me. I have given them eternal life. And today too, if you paid attention, that also is repeated, that he gives us eternal life. And so today I want to talk about the Feast of the Cross from three points. I want to talk about personal conversion. You call it personal conversion, you can call it personal conviction, that's up to you. We're going to talk about personal conversion. The Lord made it clear to understand what a disciple is in the time of the Lord is not a student. A disciple is not a student. I'm not sure if I spoke about this here before or not. But a disciple is not a student. A disciple is not sitting down in a classroom, getting some form of education, and then going home doing homework. But a disciple to a rabbi, a disciple to a teacher, is a follower of that teacher, right? So yes, of course, there are times of education, but there are times where the disciple is basically following the teacher everywhere the teacher goes. Seeing the teacher dealing with the people, seeing the teacher dealing with issues of justice, issues of sickness, issues of wealth, issues of poverty, issues of conflict, issues of resolution. They see the teacher, how the teacher is resolving all of these things. And so the disciple learns from the teacher all what the teacher does, basically takes from the teacher's life into his. And this is why in the history you find sometimes teachers that have no writings, but their disciples have writings. And they say, oh, these are the writings of the teacher. How does this happen? Because just the disciple absorbed all what the teacher taught. And so the disciples, the 12, this is what they did. It was more of a dedication to life, of life. It was more of Matthew leaving the tax collection table, Peter and John and Andrew would leave the boats and follow him. And there is a form of conversion. There's a form of conviction that took place in their hearts. And hence, there is that change that took place in their hearts. And based on this, the Lord was very clear that whoever wants to come after me has to, whoever wants to be my disciple has to carry the cross and come and follow me. Because if you want to be a disciple, if you want to have this form of dedication, you have to be willing to do what the teacher does. And hence, in the Lord's mindset, to be a disciple is not basically to observe, not basically to look from far, but actually to live the life of the teacher. And hence, if you want to be my disciple, whoever wants to be my disciple has to be willing to carry the cross and follow me. So, with this following, there is this conversion that takes place in the life of the disciple. Somehow within history, we've developed this fear of speaking of a conversion that takes place in our lives, or a conviction that takes place in our life. And we fear of relaying our spiritual conviction with an experience. We started to develop this fear of, oh, I cannot speak of an experience. I cannot speak of conversion. This is language of the West. This is language of other traditions. And I understand that problem. But that problem, when that is a problem, if we come and say, this is all what it is in the Christian life. It's an experience. But that's not what we say. There could be, definitely, for sure, we have Matthew, we have James, we have Matthew, we have John, we have Peter, we have Andrew, we have so many of the Lord's disciples, and even the disciples' disciples, and even in the book of Acts, and in many of St. Paul's letters, individuals who have went through these convictions. And why I'm referring to this? Because there has to be in our lives some form of commitment and conversion and conviction towards the Lord and towards the cross. Christ has to be my Savior, my Redeemer. There has to be this sense of Christ redeemed me, who loved me and he gave himself up for me. Which is exactly what St. John Chrysostom says. He says, he loved each and every one of us individually as much as he loved the world. And he would have done the same thing for me alone had there been no one else. I think what happened in some period of time, we started to fear of speaking of sin and death and all what we would have been going through had not Christ came and saved us. And when we removed this element of sin and death, the value of what Christ had done a little bit became less. So I want to go back. There has to be a sense of personal commitment and conviction towards Christ. He is my own Savior. If this goes away, if this vanishes, if this is not spoken of, then we're in deep trouble. This is point number one. Point number two, within the cross, I want to talk about ascetic living. And when I speak of ascetic living, I'm not calling everyone to leave their homes and go to the monastery. Of course, I'm sure you know that already. But I'm calling with this conversion, with this conviction that I just spoke of, there has to be some ascetic living, some form of a change that takes place in my life. St. Paul is very clear. Put to death your members which are on the earth. What are those? He says fornication. He says what else? Uncleanness. What else? Passion. What else? Desires. What else? Covetousness, which is idolatry. He says put away these members. Listen to the language that he's speaking. He's calling fornication, uncleanness, passion, desires, covetousness. He's calling those members. These are things are almost in us. He calls them members. He says, put to death these members. So what I want you to do, I want you when you are tempted by lust, when you are tempted by jealousy from somebody else who has better things or greater things or nicer cars or nicer homes or whatever it may be, I want you to remember that those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. When I speak of ascetic living, this is the language that the Bible had put with the crucifixion, with the cross, but a language of death to our own members, to our own desires. And so again, I want you to remember those things. I want you to remember when you are tempted, says, say to yourself that those who are Christ have put to death the flesh and its desires. Now, when I speak of ascetic living, I speak of denying oneself. So many of the problems that we have within families because we're not willing to crucify the self. I want my rights. I want my things. It's completely opposite to what the language of the Bible speaks. When we speak of ascetic living, we're speaking of self-control. They control your anger. You control your temper. You control your language. You control your eyes. You control your passions. You control your lust. This is the ascetic living that we are called to live by in the world. This is what the fathers ask us to do. If this ascetic living is not anchored in the love of Christ, then we're practicing some form of Gnosticism, some form of Buddhism, some form of Hinduism, some form of bodily practice that's empty of purpose, empty of being united with Christ, empty of purpose to heaven. That's not what we're called for at all. We're called to put to death these members because we are united with Christ, to live a better life, to live a holy life that He called us to live. My last point. Within the cross, I want to talk about ecclesial living. The word ecclesial means has to do with church and church community and churchy things. And ecclesial living, I want to remind you of something that we recite here every single time when we come to prayer. Every time you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim my death and confess my resurrection. Every time you come and eat, every time you come and eat, you proclaim his death. You proclaim it how? You proclaim it in your life. But you also proclaim his resurrection. You proclaim it in the way you live every single day. You proclaim it as you come into church and you have a conflict, you have a problem between someone in the church, and you say, I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to make sure that this community, this church, remains holy, remain harmonious. I'll put aside my differences. The cross is very obvious in everything we do. It's obvious in baptism, it's obvious in Eucharist, it's obvious in the way we walk in, we cross ourselves, it's obvious when we anoint people with oil. The cross is everywhere in the Orthodox tradition, Orthodox practice. There is one of the monastic fathers, his name is Theodore Fermin. That's a very nice saying. He says, if your brother is tempted and he falls in his temptation, do not despise him, but consider his temptation your own cross to carry. I think this is very deep. When I feel that my brother's temptation is my own cross to carry, I would look and I would see individuals around me very different. Because that becomes my cross. It's not his. I'm not distancing myself from him. The Feast of the Cross calls us to live in this way. To live with conviction towards our Savior. To live an ascetic life and to live an ecclesial living. And glory be to God forever. Amen.